I think we did okay.
Well, there is a word from the Lord today. If you could turn to the book of Exodus, the second chapter. The book of Exodus, the second chapter. And if you don't have it, we have it right here on the screen. In verse 1, and it reads, "Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman. Verse 2, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a child. She hid him for 3 months. Next verse, verse 3. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. Verse 4, his sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Verse 5, then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. And she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. Verse 6, she opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. Verse 7, then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? Verse 8, yes, go, she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Verse 9, Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you. So the woman took the baby and nursed him. Verse 9 and 10, when the child grew, and she named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. Father God, we just thank you for your spirit here this morning. I thank you for House of Judah. I thank you for it being a pillar in this community, Father God. I pray today, as we honor the women that were dedicated, Father God, I pray whether a man or woman is here today, that we can learn something and take it back with us to inspire us, to educate us, to become more dedicated to your word and your way, Father God. We thank you for speaking to us, no matter our age this morning. In your son Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Well, this is a familiar scripture that we've kind of heard through the years. And on this Mother's Day and in the month of May, House of Judah, you guys have been honoring and celebrating dedicated women. Dedicated women in the Bible. And this morning, I'm going to focus on a woman who is extremely dedicated. And on this Mother's Day, I'm reminded of a couple of quotes that I think truly represent mothers. Here's one from an unknown source. It says, life doesn't come with a manual. It comes with a mother. And then Susan Gale, she says, mothers are like glue. Even when you can't see them, they are still holding the family together. Sometimes the strength of motherhood is greater than natural laws. Let me say that one again. Because y'all mamas know. Sometimes the strength of motherhood is stronger and greater than natural laws, than man's laws. Just say it's something about a mother. Come on, if you know your mama was there for you, just say it's something about a mother. So today, I want to talk about a mother that has been overlooked in the body of Christ a lot. We've heard the story, but I truly believe a lot of people don't even know her name. I want you, but quickly, I want to dive into, as we're celebrating dedication of the women in the Bible this month, I want to talk briefly about a mother's dedication. Just say that with me. A mother's dedication. Dedication is simply being committed to a task or purpose. If you could throw that definition up there. It's just simply being committed to a task or purpose. Just say purpose. That word is so powerful and so strong, and it carries so much weight. But in order to become dedicated, that's what I want to focus on today. How can we become dedicated to God? What does it take to become dedicated to God as we look at this mother who was dedicated? In order to become dedicated, we must believe the promise and the purpose of God. And continue to trust and stay faithful to that promise and that purpose the Lord has for us. The first step in order to become dedicated on this walk of Christ, sometimes you just got to get motivated, right? The first step I'll tell you to do, seek out and believe the promise and the purpose of the Lord. Just do that first. Seek out the promise. Seek out the purpose of the Lord. And believe it. Can y'all just say believe? So Moses' mother, Jochebed, that's her name. Her name means Yahweh is glory. And this morning, as we look briefly into the story, Jochebed is the mother of Aaron, Miriam, and now this little baby boy, right? This little baby boy who's 3 months old. This hits home for me because my daughter, she's only 9 months. And when she, I think I was here last time, she may have been about 3 or 4 months. So it's a brand new baby that Jochebed has. And in our key scriptures, if we could go to verse 1. In our key scripture, we find and we see Jochebed here. And look at verse 2. It says, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son when she saw that he was a fine child. This brand new baby, her third child, she sees that it's a fine child. But she does something so strange. Because the mothers that I know, when they have a baby, they dress their outfit. Like my wife today for Mother's Day, she has a matching outfit with my daughter. She's enthused. Typically, mothers want to flaunt their new baby. But we see here in verse 2, Jochebed is doing something strange. It says, verse 2, she sees how fine her child is, so she hid him for 3 months. She's hiding her child. Have you ever asked yourself why? If you know the story, you probably know why. Let's go back a little bit to Exodus, the first chapter. Verse 15 through 22. Write that down and read it when you get home. But Exodus, the first chapter, verse 15 through 22, we see why this mother who has a beautiful son who she finds is fine, why she decides to hide and keep him away. Verse 16, we see, it says, we have Pharaoh here, and Pharaoh is the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh has made this decree because the Hebrews, they're growing numerous. They're outgrowing the Egyptians. And I promise if you stay with me, I'm going somewhere. And Pharaoh is here and he says, we got to do something about it. So he talks to Hebrew maids. And he says to the handmaids, when you see a baby that's being delivered, Look at verse 16. When you're helping the Hebrew women during their childbirth on the delivery stool, if you see that that baby is a boy, kill him. That's evil. But if you see that if it's a girl, just leave the baby alone. So he's expecting the Hebrews to kill the Hebrews. And these women, fearing God, they don't do it. I promise, just stay with me. He sees that these boys are staying alive. He said, what's going on here? So he goes and he said, okay, if y'all won't kill him, verse 22, skip down to me. In verse 22, we see he makes a decree not just to the handmaids that were helping birth the children. He says it to every person now, right? Then Pharaoh gave an order to his people. Every Hebrew boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live. So Pharaoh goes from saying, kill them at birth, and that plan doesn't work, and he adjusts his evil plan. And he says, now, everybody, I'm going to tell everybody my plan. I don't even care, because my plan is going to happen. He now says, throw these baby boys into the Nile to kill them. Jealousy is such an evil thing. And when jealousy gets a part of some people in the world, they just do anything. So we see now why Jochebed sees her child, a fine son, but she decides to hide him. Because Pharaoh's decree to kill not just the baby boys at birth, because at one point she could escape just that. But now everyone knows. He's made a decree to everyone. If you see a Hebrew boy, throw him in the Nile River. Kill him. This mother finds herself with a blessing and a curse. In a time that should be joyous, she finds herself grappling with what she knows she needs to do. So now we know why she hid Moses, this baby boy. Have you ever asked yourself, how? How was she able to do it? We just talked about the why. But House of Judah, have you ever asked yourself, how was she able to defy the world? The man that could have her killed, how was she able to do such a thing? I'm glad you asked. Because this is a woman, which a woman was of a second class citizen. Not a man that's going against the king. This is a woman. And not just being a woman, she's a Hebrew woman in Egypt. Not just being a woman, being a Hebrew in Egypt. She's a woman, a Hebrew, and she's an oppressed slave in Egypt. So this is a woman who is a Hebrew and in a foreign land, and she's a slave to Pharaoh, but she found confidence to go against his decree. Can y'all just say how? Has anybody else wondered how? How in the world was she able to do this? I'm glad you asked. Jochebed, she knew who she was. She knew who she was. See, she believed the promise and the purpose of the Lord. House of Judah, I'm promised I'm going somewhere. I'm walking it out this morning. Is that okay? She knew the purpose and the promise of God. Minister Goldsmith, what are you talking about? The slave woman who was a second-class citizen, who's going against the king. How does she know the promise and the purpose of God? Just go with me really quick. Go back to verse 1 if you don't mind. In verse 1, we see, now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman. Can you just say Levite? That carries some stock to it. That carries some weight to it. What do you mean, Minister Goldsmith? Let's skip to Numbers 26, verse 59. In Numbers 26, verse 59, you see, in the name of Aram's wife, this is Moses' father. Moses' father is Aram, and his wife's name is Jochebed, right? The daughter of who? Levi. Jochebed was the daughter of who? Levi. She was the daughter of Levi. So with Jochebed, she was a Hebrew in Egypt, but her father was Levi. Levi's father was Jacob. Jacob's father was Isaac. Isaac's father was Abraham. See, let's skip to verse Genesis 46, verse 3. Here in Genesis 46, verse 3, we see Jochebed, her father was Levi. Her grandfather was Isaac. Excuse me, her grandfather was Jacob. And her great-grandfather was Isaac. And her great-great-grandfather was Abraham. So we see here Jochebed, Moses' mother, her father was Levi, but we see her granddaddy. Can you just say granddaddy? We see her granddaddy here. And Joseph, being the son of Jacob, he ends up in Egypt, correct? And as he ends up in Egypt, he finds himself in a strange land sold by his family, but he works his way up to the second command of Pharaoh. Why is that important? Because a famine came. And when that famine came, his brothers came and they didn't even recognize Joseph. And when they didn't recognize Joseph, Joseph recognized them. And Joseph said, go back and get my father. Go back and get Jacob. Go back and get Benjamin. And you guys are going to live here with me. So here in verse 46, we see a promise. Remember, God told Abraham to leave his family, go to Canaan. And then we find here in verse 46, we see Jacob doing something that he has done before. Because you remember when he stole the birthright from his brother Esau, he left and he came back to Canaan. But here we see God telling him to do something yet again. This is the grandfather of Jochebed. God is telling him, go to Egypt. For I'm with you. Let's look at it. This is God speaking to him. He says, I am God, the God of your father, he said. And God says to Jacob, do not be afraid to go down to where? Egypt. For I will make you into a great nation there. Verse 4, I will go down to Egypt with you. I will surely bring you back again. And Joseph's own hand will close your eyes. God makes a promise to Jacob. And this promise that he makes to Jacob is that he's going to go to Egypt with them. And not just go to Egypt with them. He's going to make Jacob's name great in Egypt. It sounds familiar, kind of what God told Abraham. He said, I'll make your descendants as vast as the stars in the sky. If I'm in a book, just say amen. So God is here telling Jochebed's great, great, great grandfather, I'm going to make your name great. God is here yet again making a promise to her grandfather, Jacob. I'm going to make your name great. I can just see Jochebed knowing the stories, knowing the history of her family, knowing who she is, knowing the promises and the purpose that God has instilled in her lineage. See, this slave woman was a little different. This particular woman knew the purpose and the promise of God, and she believed it. So Jochebed believed the promise of God, that God would go with Egypt to them, and also that God will make the nation great as he promised and purposed. But see, even though this woman was enslaved, she knew her destiny. She had physically been a slave and beat, but in her heart, she knew she was a child of a king. See, she could only go against the king's decree because she knew who she was through the King of Kings. See, there's a power and strength that comes from knowing who you are. And there's a power and strength from codes that comes from knowing whose you are. See, the first step in becoming dedicated is believing the promise and the purpose of God. Through this belief, you solidify your identity in Christ. Do I have five people in here that know that I can only go forward because I know who I am in Christ, because I know his promises, because I know his purpose? If that's you, if you could just stand up and just say amen, just say hallelujah. Because with this lady, they wanted to tell her she was a slave, but she knew her stock. She knew who her daddy was. She knew who her granddaddy was. She knew who her great-great-granddaddy was. So when they spoke to her, she did differently. See, they told her you're just a slave, but when you get into the word of God, you begin to see your identity in God. See, Satan wants to tell you you're confused. You don't know what you are, but you begin as you get deeper in God, as you begin to believe his promise, as you begin to believe his purpose, you start to say, I am the righteousness of God. You start to say, I am the head and not the tail. You start to say, I am above and not beneath. You start to say, I'm made in the image of God and his likeness. You start to say, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You start to say, I'm healed and not sick. The first step of being dedicated is tapping into the promise and the purposes of God. Why? So that you can solidify your identity. You have to know what God has said about you, because what God says about you solidifies your identity. This Hebrew woman, Jochebed, she knew who she was because she continuously tapped into the purpose and the promise. Oftentimes we tap into what we hear from our feelings, from our emotions. We tap into the things of this world to try to help us understand the things out of this world. It's ignorant. It's idiotic. But if we look at this mother today, she connected to the promise of God. And that's the first step of being dedicated. Step two, and I'm going to get out your way. After you believe the promise and the purpose of God, You know it. You know your identity. Now the hard part is coming. You got to trust it. And you got to remain faithful to this promise and this purpose. Because at first you heard it and you were excited. The same. The temptations that you want to get over so much is still in your heart right now. The Bible says a man is only tempted by the things in his own heart. The world is still the same. You got saved on Sunday, but Monday, your wife is still the same. Your job is still the same. So when it gets hard, this is when you build the trust. And you got to stay faithful to the promise and purpose of the Lord. On this road of dedication, the easiest part is believing the promise and purpose that God has for you. But the hardest part is trusting and remaining faithful when you face adversity. The love between a mother, as we talk about Mother's Day, the love between a mother and a daughter is special. Do y'all agree? It's a special bond. But watch this. The love between a mother and that baby boy. I may be biased because I'm the youngest boy in my family. I know my mama loved me. That baby just gets a different kind of mama, don't they? The oldest, they get the strict mama. By the time the baby comes, the mama's so tired. She's like, boy, just do whatever you want to do. And the oldest, as they tell me all the time, man, Justin, you get away with anything, man. Thank you. And I get on their nerves today when we meet to eat today. But that relationship between a mother and their baby boy, it just hits different. Mamas, is that true? If your daughter's in here, don't say anything, okay? But it hits just a little bit differently. But as we see in verse 2 in Exodus, the second chapter, I promise I'm getting out your way. Verse 2, we see Jacob here, and she's trying to hide this beautiful baby boy that she has. I can imagine now that we've set the stage. Sweetheart, I can imagine after Pharaoh making this decree, it went through the newspapers of Egypt. Like, whoa. I can imagine at night, Jochebed trying to hide her baby boy. I can imagine her being paranoid. Remember, House of Judah, the decree at first was just made to the maids, but now everybody in Egypt knows about this decree. Paranoid at every squeak she hears at night. Are they coming for my baby? Are they coming for my baby? I can see her being so paranoid because I don't know if y'all remember, but it's hard to keep a baby quiet when they first born. They cry. My daughter cried so much. I said, Lord Jesus, this is what I prayed for. I didn't get any sleep. Do y'all remember them days? How did she keep this baby hidden without crying? Can you see how exhausted this lady is? So when we talk about dedication today, verse 3, it says that she could not hide him no longer. Imagine a mother and her baby boy exhausting her resources so much that she can't even hide them anymore. Flesh of her flesh. Her baby. I can see her looking at her child and seeing herself. But she got to the point to where this is driving me crazy. I can't do it. But I know the plans of the purpose and the promise. So she gets a pepperous basket and she coats it with tar and pitch. And see, Jochebed, she exhausted her resources and could no longer safely hide her son herself. So she trusted that God's promise and that his plan will still work beyond her power. Placing him in the Nile River. This was a true act of faith because she completely is giving up her son up to God and trusting his promise and trusting his purpose will come true. She remained faithful and dedicated to the promise. She didn't allow the world's plan for her son to dictate the plan she knew God had for her son. What am I saying to you? You gotta speak life in the midst of darkness. You gotta speak life when it seems dark in every area of your life. Because in the midst of problems, we often look at the problem. But I'm here to tell you that God, he looks at the solutions. What the problem was in this situation was that the boys were being killed and thrown in the Nile. But what the solution was that God created was for her to put her baby in the Nile. The same river that babies died in was the same river that Moses lived in. Y'all not here with me. Maybe you didn't want your child to go to that public school. Maybe you didn't want your child to grow up in that same neighborhood. But I'm here to tell you that God will show you how to construct the basket of faith that will lift and elevate your child beyond the wiles and the schemes of the enemy. What do you mean, Minister Goldsmith? A papyrus basket? That funky name? What the Egyptians would do, they would take that plant, strip it, and that plant was first used for paper. Study it when you get home. They used that plant first for paper. That's what they wrote on. That's what they put words on. That's what they put the words on. See, you thought Jochebed just put her child in a basket and put him in a river. She wrapped her child up in the word. Hallelujah. Because the papyrus is what they wrote on. Can you put your child in the same neighborhood? Can you put your child in the same public school system, private school system? Baby, I'm an assistant principal. I'm here to tell you it don't matter what school they go to. They are going to meet Satan. They're going to meet the devil. But you got to wrap your child up in the word. And as you wrap your child up in the word, the same thing that you saw kill other kids, God is going to allow them to float above. If that's blessing you this morning, just say hallelujah. Because your dedication as a mother, mothers stay faithful to God in prayer. Because the Lord will give you a plan that will bring faith of his purpose for your child. Even in the midst of death and danger, you must have faith over fear. Just say faith over fear. Because God's promise and his purpose will override the plans of the world. Pharaoh gave a decree to everyone to throw him in the river. Anyone but man's plan. He said everyone. He was serious about this thing. Go to verse 9 for me. Pharaoh had a plan. These babies will be killed. They will be thrown into the Nile. But when God has a purpose and a promise, remember, Moses, later on, when he gets to the burning bush, He said, who is that? The angel of the Lord speaks out of him. He said, I'm the Father. I'm the God of your father. Then he says, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's Moses' great-great-grandfather. In the midst of God's plan for Moses and the Egyptians, excuse me, the Hebrews, we see Pharaoh has a plan to kill him. Satan will always have a plan to kill you. Is that serious? He will always have a plan to kill you. But in the midst of that plan, you got to tap into the purpose and the promise that God has for you. Verse 9, we see, look, it says, yes, go. Who is this talking? This is Moses' sister Miriam talking to Pharaoh's what? Daughter. She said, yes, go, she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. But verse 9, Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this baby and nurse him for me. And we know the part where she says, and I'll pay for you. Have you ever thought that Pharaoh had a plan? In verse 22, he told everyone to throw the babies in the Nile. But when God is in the mix, at work, they have a plan. But when God is in the mix, even their own child can turn against the plan that they have. I'm reminded of Saul, and Saul wanted to kill David, but I'm reminded that Saul's son, Jonathan, told David exactly the plan. He told David exactly what was going to happen. What am I saying to you this morning? Have faith over fear. Stay true to God's word. Trust in the purpose and the promise of God's word so that you can stay dedicated even when the emotion, even when you want to quit, even when you want to give up. Don't forget that man has a plan, but God's plan will prevail. Am I preaching to five people in here this morning? If you can stand to your feet and just praise God. Hallelujah. Because man has a plan for you. But God can make even the man that has the plan's child turn against him. Because God's plan is going to prevail. See, his daughter breaks his decree and tells Miriam to take this baby and to nurse it for her. And she even says, I'm going to pay your mother for taking care of her own child. Do y'all want to be paid for what you do for God? Do y'all want to be paid for the purpose? See, y'all think the pastor is only paid for his gift. See, God has called you to be in technology. God has called you to be a teacher. God has a purpose for you. And you are getting compensated on this earth and more for what you're doing. If you're grateful to God for the plan, grateful for the plan, because God's ways is not our ways, and God's thoughts is not our thoughts. What am I saying to you today, House of Judah? I'm saying keep staying faithful. I'm saying keep trusting in the promise and the purpose of God. I'm saying stay dedicated. Can y'all just lift that up? Stay dedicated. I'm reminded on this Mother's Day of Mary, Jesus' mother. Mary was so dedicated to the plan. Check this out. I promise I'm finished. She was so dedicated to the plan. She knew the identity of herself in her son so much that she propelled Jesus to do his first miracle. They're at a wedding, right? They ran out of wine. She said, y'all come here. This is my son Jesus. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Because of the dedication of his mother, Jesus walked fully into his ministry. That was the first miracle he ever did. What am I saying to you? If not for the dedication, of Jochebed. There will be no exodus out of Egypt. This story is an exodus. Exodus just means exit. If not for this mother's dedication to keep her son alive, there would be no Moses talking to the burning bush. Without this mother dedication, there will be no Passover. Without this mother's dedication, it's vital in the story. There will be no Moses lifting up his staff and the Red Sea being split and the Israelites walking over on dry ground. Without this mother's dedication, there will be no Israelites leaving Egypt. Thank you for sharing your testimony earlier about the clothes. Y'all remember that? Because you know in the story, as the Israelites left Egypt, it's in the Bible, they got the clothes from who? The Egyptians. Your mama may have worked for that lady on the other side of town, but you benefited from the clothes. If not for the dedication of this mother, the Egyptians wouldn't have been leaving Egypt with some new clothes, with some new shoes. But it's not about the material things. It's about the spiritual things. It's about the fact that God has a purpose and a plan for you. If not for the dedication of this mother, if you could put Genesis 46, if you could put that up, I'm ending on this and I'm opening up the altar. Remember, this is Jacob, right? God is speaking to Jacob. This is Jochebed's grandmother. She's not even born yet. God speaks to him and he says, I am God, the God of your father, who was Isaac. And he said, do not be afraid to go to Egypt to meet your son Joseph, right? For I will make you into a great nation there. Verse 4, this is the part. He says, I will go down to Egypt with you. But did y'all catch that next part? He said, and I will surely bring you back again. Bring you back where? Remember, he was leaving Canaan, going to Egypt. But because this mother stayed dedicated, she didn't allow her son to die. Her son was the one that led them out of Egypt so that this prophecy could be fulfilled. He showed Joshua the way, and Joshua led the Hebrews, the Israelites, back into Canaan again. Land flowing with milk and honey. This morning, this mother who we overlook so much, she was dedicated. Today, I want to pray for anyone, a special prayer of dedication. Maybe you're at the parting stage and you don't even believe the purpose of promise. I want to pray for you today. Or maybe you know the purpose and promise of God, but you're at the point where you're like, I'm not faithful anymore. I've experienced death. His purpose and his promise ain't true. I'm here to tell you God has power over death. I'm here to pray for you. Esther, as you play whatever, the altar is open. I want to say a special prayer for you today. If you just need any prayer, the altar is open. We can go back. I love you, Jesus. Oh, I worship and adore you. Come on. I just want to tell you, dear Lord, I love you. See, I love you, Jesus, 'cause I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you, 'cause I
because I worship Him.
I want to pray for your dedication today.
Just want to tell.
Come on, hallelujah. The Lord.
Lord, I love you.
More than anything.
More than anything.
Allow this woman today to inspire you, young man.